The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with 1.9 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Got a couple updates on the hurricane out there in Florida, and also I'm going to have Carl Jackson join me. We've been praying for him and his family. They live out in Florida, and I know that the storm had come his way, and he agreed. And hopefully he still have internet access and things are on the up and up. He agreed to come on the show and kind of share with us a front row seat to what's going on with Hurricane Ian in the state of Florida that's moving up the coast and potentially could affect other areas. Just some quick updates. I'll read some headlines for you so you can be informed. Ian is expected to become the hurricane, again as tropical storms plummet Florida. Tropical storm Ian was expected to be to strengthen again as it continues to move across Florida. More than 2.5 million people are without power. Fox News is updated with the latest news surrounding the storm, its impact, its travel, and its emergency, which is some of the information that I have for you. DeSantis says that the monster hurricane is a 500-year flood event. It says Tropical Storm Ian related to South Carolina's coast under hurricane warning. The National Hurricane Center said that the entire coast of South Carolina was now under hurricane warning. Tropical Storm Ian was located about 285 miles south of Charleston, South Carolina, and around 25 miles north, northeast of Cape Canaveral, Florida. I hope that I'm saying that right. Also, there's a lot of good that have come out of this situation, and it's very interesting. When I say good, it's never good when people lose their lives, when people lose power, and all of these things. But there's the silver lining of people being brought together, people becoming heroes, the average person saving their brethren who are all in dire need of help in a catastrophic situation like this. There's a couple stories here that I have surrounding a couple Good Samaritans who are saving their neighbors and pets and other people in this incredible flood hurricane situation. I saw some pictures of sharks, literally floating around people's houses. You had other animals that are in the sea that are literally floating in people's front yards. Hopefully, I'm not going to say hopefully. I know for a fact that some people probably lost their animals, especially in the water full of sharks. But Ian's, one of the Ian response, articles is a Good Samaritan in Florida rescues elderly man from his vehicle. I wish we had that video. I don't think we have it. A dramatic video shows the moments a group of Good Samaritans in Florida rescued an elderly man trapped in his car amidst raging water and strong winds from Hurricane Ian. And here's a quote from a gentleman named Benny. It says, "We saw an elderly man struggling in his car, and we knew that he needed our help. The rescue occurred at Bonita Springs, and the man's vehicle, door had reportedly been wedged shut before the group intervened. The guy also maintained he maintained to grab the door and pry it open. He said he was a bit in shock, so he didn't want to let go. So we assured him we were there to help him. So good Samaritans helping an elderly man out of a car when they are literally risking their own lives in these types of situations. Here's another heroic situation from the fire department rescue, who rescued a woman from her car. It said a Florida woman was rescued by the Naples, Florida fire department Wednesday during Hurricane Ian. An emergency citywide curfew was issued until further notice. The curfew did not apply for first responders and emergency workers. A video posted to social media showed water moving houses in Naples, and also residents are asking and begging to be rescued. And so I don't know, the article skips, but let me move on, because trying to read these articles become a catastrophe itself. But anyway, just a few information. When I have Carl on, he'll be able to give you more information about what's going on in Florida. But you know, Ron DeSantis, I think, is doing a job that he's supposed to do, and I think he's doing an exceptional job in Florida. And unfortunately, like I said before, I know for a fact these liberals are literally licking at their chops, hoping to God that DeSantis fails so they can rub it in his face and act like Republicans are the scum of the earth. Obviously, I'm not on the broadcast team, so I don't know exactly how the storm is developing. I wish I had a TV to look at. But I do know that Georgia is under watch, South Carolina, and other places. So just be safe out there. If you're listening on the radio, you hear my voice, or you have family members, call them and make sure that they're safe. Make sure that they're doing what's right. I'd say it's not worth it to not evacuate if you're being requested to evacuate. You know, it's not worth your life to save, I don't know what you would save, maybe some pictures or something like that in your house. I think it's worth it for you to be safe. But anyway, let me move on to something different. I wouldn't say something different related to Florida, but just different in general. When you look at, you know, this whole climate in our country, and we, you know, decipher between what's going to really cause us to come together and be more united versus this separation or this, you know, disconnect between people who live in this country. And natural disasters, unfortunately, and terrorist attacks seem to be one of the contributing factors to America coming together. So my hopes is that situations like this, obviously, hopefully we do well at our responses. I think DeSantis will do a good job, and the mitigation of loss of life is something that I'm hoping that is able to be achieved. And beyond that, I hope that this brings the country together. Supposedly, the president, Joe Biden, had a conversation with Ron DeSantis, and they're also working together, both state and on the federal level, to do what they can. But I'm really hoping that as a country, we come together and not allow this to be something that's divisive, that we not allow, because people don't like DeSantis politically, that they're hoping for the downfall in Florida. And I saw a post from a liberal outlet who took a picture of Mar-a-Lago and said Ian has only one job, and that was to destroy Mar-a-Lago, but it didn't. So, you know, you have that out there where people are just hoping to God that there's a tremendous, I guess, failure on the part of a Republican so that they can tout this during the election. I think it's sick that people would even think that way. You know, these liberals are nutty. And if they had a catastrophe in Chicago, I would argue that most people would wish the best for them and hope that the people are, the people recover from something like that. And just thinking about recovering and people and unity, I saw this movie yesterday, or last night. Sean told me about it. I saw this movie that was, it's called 11 Minutes. And I don't know if you guys have seen that movie or not, but that's one of the craziest movies that I've seen. And it's pertaining to the Las Vegas, Nevada shooting. How is this related, Brandon? It's because when you see such a catastrophe that occurred and the heroism from first responders, average everyday people coming together, saving one another, you know, persevering through something that was so catastrophic, And it really brought a lot of people together in that particular community. I mean, people from all walks of life that was traveling from all over the country to go to that Jason Aldean concert. You see them come together. And I'm just that movie reminded me of what I'm hoping that happens in Florida, you know, post aftermath of this particular hurricane. I was talking about this yesterday. Do I think that it's got anything to do with global warming? I really do not. I don't think it has anything to do with global warming. I don't think it has anything to do with climate change. It's just these things happen. These things happen over time. And just because it's a what they would consider a 500-year, at least DeSantis said it's a 500-year. I'm arguing that he meant once in every 500-year type of event. That does not mean that it's somehow climate change, because there was another one that was a once in a 500-year event 500 years ago. And that don't mean that the climate is somehow changing so drastically that we're all going to die in 30 years. It's absolutely ridiculous. So I'll have Carl Jackson in the next segment. Y'all hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
If you want to know the truth behind the events of January 6, 2021, Jake Lang, incarcerated political prisoner, has it all in a documentary with footage that has never been seen before by the public. It is the raw and uncut truth about January 6th, the day when free men and women stood unarmed against tyranny and were brutalized and beaten and even murdered on the steps of our own Capitol, and where brave Americans came together to defend the Constitution with free and fair elections. Take a journey with Jake Lang to remember the heroes who came to the Capitol to peacefully protest. Watch this documentary dedicated to Roseanne Boylan, Ashley Babbitt, Benjamin Phillips, and Kevin Greeson, who lost their lives defending our country that day. Seeing is believing. Go now to j6truth.org. It's not about what you have heard and have been told by the mainstream left media. It's the uncut truth. Go now to j6truth.org. Thank you, and God bless America.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. On the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum, and continuing the conversation about Florida. A good man, and you guys know him well, Carl Jackson is joining me, the host of The Carl Jackson Show. I believe thecarljacksonshow.com is the website. I wanted to bring Carl in because he lives out there in Florida, and I'm sure, I'm almost guaranteed he can give better, more clear updates than I can give way from the state of Arizona. So welcome to the show, Carl Jackson.
Hey, Brandon, man, I appreciate you having me on.
It's my pleasure, man. How are you doing out there? What's going on? Can you let the audience know what conditions are you guys in out there in Florida, given this storm? It's been just incredible.
Yeah, you know what? I got to tell you, thank you first and foremost, the Forgotten Man, and all of you guys for sending out prayers for me. I consider ourselves blessed compared to a lot of people that are around us. Our neighborhood is flooded where we can't get out of the neighborhood. Our backyard is flooded, but thank God the waters did not get to our home. We have electricity. We did not lose electricity except for a couple of times for a very short period of time. But honestly, man, I'm not gonna lie. It's gonna be a slow rebuild for a lot of people. The winds, thank God, weren't as strong as predicted. I'm in Central Florida in Orlando, so the winds weren't as strong for us, thank God. But Southwest Florida is in bad shape. But even right here in Central Florida, you know, there's reports of water main breaks all around the place. A lot of people are literally trapped within their neighborhoods, like we are right now, as a result of flooding. Where flooding is much worse. Even, you know, I consider ourselves blessed. You have a big pickup truck, you can get out of my neighborhood. But there's neighborhoods nearby, and a family friend of ours whose home is just just straight up submerged. So it's a lot of people are going to be feeling a lot of pain. So it's not an easy day for a lot of people. But I got to tell you, I almost feel guilty, Brandon, because we have electricity, man. I feel bad. I feel bad. I'm thankful, but I feel bad because I know there's a lot of people that are hurting. A lot worse than me by far.
Yeah, Carl, and I think that to me that speaks to your character, man. You're such a genuine, great man, and your heart goes out to people. And you know, some people will be counting up all of their successes and not worried about other people. But you know, I could feel the way you feel about it, man. You know, we're here in Arizona. We haven't had a situation like that, but I know there's a lot of people, you know, young people going to school. There's people who have lost everything, right. You know, their pictures, their, you know, memorabilia and different things that they've been collecting for years. And it's not like you can grab all that stuff and run, you know, especially when the hurricane hit. What are some ways in which people can, I don't know if you know these off the top of your head. I know Ron DeSantis is doing a lot of good things, but do you know of anything specific where people can go to and try to help out with the relief there in the state of Florida?
I can tell you right now what they're asking a lot of people to do, simply because there is so much flooding. And, and I'm one, I like to go out and help people. You know, if your neighbor needs help, I would say that's the best thing you can do. But it kind of, you know, basically I'm following their orders of the leaders out here, just kind of stay out of the way, let the emergency people do their thing, the people that are trained to do. This is so different, man. It's been crazy. Literally there's been a shark on the street.
Wow.
there's lines that have been down. I just watched video of a freaking seal that was in someone's neighborhood. It is that insane. And a lot of people are trying to go out and do things that they probably shouldn't be doing. So I would just recommend that people, man, Governor Ron DeSantis has been on top of this. There's been a lot of lies about this guy not being on top of this kind of stuff. I can tell you honestly that, you know, I almost thought he jumped the gun because the storm wasn't even formed. So I was like, man, you know, he's a little early. I'm glad he was early, because before the storm hit, I like going out and just surveying the area, to see what's going on. And I can tell you that people were already on lockdown. Most people seem to already have their supplies. So Floridians were well prepared. No one expected the rain to just hover. The winds and all that kind of stuff, it sucks. It stinks. You know, tree limbs may come down. You may get your roof blown off or shingles blown off. But with the water just setting, no one expected that. So I am thankful that he started the emergency orders really early. People were out getting the supplies they needed. So at least in that sense, I think there's fewer people, or people suffering less than they would have been. But the floods are just devastating for people. That's just something I don't know that anyone can prepare for. So in this instance, you know, so emergency vehicles, police officers, firemen, whatever crews need to come in, so they can do their thing. They're just asking that people stay off the roads. And I just agree with them. If you can help your neighbor, help your neighbor. That's about all you can do.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I know when I was a first responder, that's some of the things that we would always say, is that, you know, don't try to be a hero. There's other people who are trained professionals that can go out and they have resources and they have everything they need to do rescues and different things like that. You know, I know that there's people who are emboldened for right reasons. You know, they want to help their neighbor. They want to go help as many people as they can. But in reality, it's best to let the professionals do it, unless you have some professional experience or you have the resources to you know, help somebody in the general area. But how long have you lived in Florida, Carl? Are you a Florida native, or have you just been there for a while?
No, I may as well be a Florida native, because I was born and raised in L.A., but I moved to Florida over 20 years ago, man, and I love it here. I go back to L.A. I still have family in L.A., but I hate L.A. I'm so thankful. I love my family, but I hate L.A. So I'm so thankful that I'm out in Florida. It's a place that I thoroughly enjoy. It was a little hard for me at first adjusting, because I was just used to living a different lifestyle. But God, this is where God radically changed my heart, my mindset.
Amen.
And once that happened, you know, this is I feel like this is where I like to be. This is where I like to be.
And you've been there for about 20 years. Have you seen a storm this bad, or is this, you think this has taken the cake as far as severity? In preparedness is a different thing. You know, maybe other storms were worse because they were less prepared or whatever. But when you talk about severity, would you consider this to be the most severe storm that you've seen since you lived in Florida?
That's a really good question, and I'll tell you why. Because back in, I think it was 2004. We went through Hurricane Charlie, Francis, Jean. Those all happened within a month of each other. And I can recall the damage and the devastation. You know, my wife, my daughter, we walked outside. Trees were all over the ground. We couldn't get out of our neighborhoods then because of the trees. And we always looked at that hurricane, at least for us, Charlie initially, as probably the worst, and expected we wouldn't see anything as bad. And although, at least in this area now, in Southwest Florida, it's way worse. But this,
Carl,
this
I got about 10 seconds left. I want to bring you back in the next segment. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Uncle Tom 2 is an eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Brandon Tatum here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America. The cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to its current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historic footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, the NAACP's sinister agenda, the fall of Black Harlem, the truth behind Black Lives Matter, and the demoralization of America for political power. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone, with yours truly, Vodi Bakum and Chad O. Jackson. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Unafraid to tell it like it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I have my good friend Carl Jackson on the line. Carl is the host of the Carl Jackson Show. And also, he makes sure the boat is still rolling when I'm out of town here for this show. He does an incredible job every single time. You don't miss a beat. If anything, you probably get a couple beats ahead of the game when Carl fills in and does his thing. So, y'all, welcome back to the show, Carl Jackson.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Brandon. And I love the way you frame the question as far it's just different. This storm is just different. I mean, I experiencing Charlie, my family and I, experiencing Francis and Jean and the outskirts of Ivan and all of these different storms, tropical storms in between, I can tell you they were really scary because with Charlie, the eye was literally over our home, and it felt like the roof was going to just be sucked off and the wind was going to take us right along with it. So that was scary. But I just feel like this is worse because I'm just looking around and I can look down the street, man, and it looks like, you go from corner to corner and it looks like there's a lake at the end of the street that wasn't wow. there. And I'm not even, and we don't have the worst of it. You know, I'm looking when the Wi-Fi is up, and we can see some local news, man, it's so much worse. And I've gotten pictures of, again, family, friends and stuff like that whose houses are just, I mean, they got a pond inside of their home. And I was Goodness. Really afraid that that's what was going to end up happening with us. And thank God it didn't. But I feel bad because I know people are really, really hurting. And it was so different with those other storms, as big and as bad and as scary as the wind was, and trees and power lines and all that kind of stuff. You felt more empowered because you could go out the next day and you could help your, you know, you can help your neighbor, and we can help our neighbor here, you know, our neighbors here to the best of our ability. There's tree limbs down and all that kind of stuff, and we'll be helping with that type of cleanup. But it's different because some people's lives are not going to be the same for months or even years. People have lost everything, and a lot more people have lost everything with this thing. The size of this storm in comparison to all those others, the wind was stronger on those once they hit landfall, but just the rain, how big the storm was and how long the rain just set over towns within Florida and cities and all that kind of stuff. It's just, the flooding is just something like I've never seen before. I've never seen Wow. anything like this before.
Well, Carl, do you think, you know, in your honest opinion, do you think this has anything to do with global warming, climate change, or, you know, something that a man has created? Is this preventable by man? What's your thoughts on that whole thing? Because, you know, the left is pushing that this is 100% Ron DeSantis' fault and all of the Republicans who have pickup trucks. You know, that's kind of their theology. But what do you think? You know, do you think there is some merit to the global warming question as it relates to what happened here in Florida?
No, I absolutely do not. And I know you know this. I know you know this, Brandon. And they don't believe it. They don't believe it. The man-made global warming hoax is all about control. And we all know that. They go from fear. They go from crisis to crisis. The left does. They want to blame us. They want to blame Governor DeSantis. They'll blame people like you. They'll blame anyone on the right for the things that are happening. Man, this is, we live on a fallen planet. You know, we're not in heaven. So we live on a fallen planet. Everything that the left claims that they want to do to make this world a safer place with green energy and all that kind of stuff, if they implemented everything they wanted to implement, it would change the temperature by 0.01 degree over 100 years. And that's according to models. And I'll tell you this, I'll be honest with you. That's a really good question. Thinking about this kind of pisses me off. And I'll tell you why. I'm so happy that Florida doesn't rely on stupid wind and solar, because we would be far worse off than we are now if we had to rely on renewable energies. The sky has been gray all freaking day. So if we had to rely on their nonsense, we would be in far worse shape.
Wow, that's very interesting. Carl, thank you so much for coming on and joining. Thank you so much for filling in on the show, man. You do such an incredible job. Much love to you, man. You're one of my favorite people. Ladies and gentlemen, can you help me in thanking Carl Jackson? And make sure y'all go to thecarljacksonshow.com. Is that's where they can find you, Carl?
That's it, man. And I appreciate all you do. I appreciate the fight that you're putting up and helping all Americans in the fight for freedom. So God bless you, and it's an honor to fill in for you. So I appreciate you, man.
Amen. And we will keep praying for you and your family and everybody in Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to The Officer Tatum Show. I'll be back after the break. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, investor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet sets is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they are all on sale. For example, the queen sizes are regularly priced at $89.98, but now they're only $39.98 with our listeners' promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they gone. The Percale sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and also a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There are a limited supply, so make sure that you order now. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com for your exclusive offer on the Percale sheets. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I just want to play a quick clip of Ron DeSantis so I can complete the thought on what's going on there in Florida. I just want us to hear from the leader, Ron DeSantis, and let you hear from him and his opinion about how they're trying to politicize these things. And then we're going to move on to Kamala Harris, because she's dumbing in three bags of rocks sitting on the sidewalk after they flunked out of high school. Roll the Ron DeSantis clip. I think it's clip one.
FEMA Administrator Chris Wells said today that she acknowledged concerns that Florida, as was said, lacks response to the storm so far, and that...
Whoa. Give me a break. That is nonsense. Stop politicizing, okay? Stop it. We declared a state of emergency when this thing wasn't even formed. We've had people in here. You've had counties doing. They've done a lot of hard work. And honestly, you're trying to attack me, I get. But, like, you're attacking these other people who've worked very hard. And so that's just totally false.
Thank you, Ron DeSantis, for saying that. You see what they're trying to attack him on? Every end, they're trying to attack him. I just read all the accomplishments. And I'm telling you, it was 6-8 pages of this stuff. I was only able to read what agencies were involved. If I read all of that stuff, it'll take me an hour. It'll take most of y'all 30 minutes, but it'll take me an hour to read all of the accomplishments and things that Ron DeSantis put in place. But I want to talk about this gaffe. Not Hillary Clinton. She's just as dumb as Hillary Clinton. Kamala Harris. Let me tell y'all this, man. I don't know if y'all hear the word on the street, but like, are people seeing this, or I'm just seeing it? Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are an embarrassment to themselves. I mean, forget the country. They already make the country look bad. Their own family and their legacy is literally being flushed down the toilet because they are just the most incompetent individuals. See, this tells you when a person is elected versus a person who has been installed. Because Joe Biden, his mind is gone. His mind is dead. He's an old, decrepit man. I saw him walking down the stairs after giving a speech, and that dude looks old. He's older than my great uncle. I mean, he looks older than my great uncle is in his 80s. Still hitting that whiskey like it's going out of style. Joe Biden can't walk down the stairs. Can't walk. He frail. He just barely making long. And then he see dead people. Cause the lady that was that passed away, he thinking she gonna be at the event. And he's supposed to meet her parents at the beginning of the week on Monday. And he still don't know she dead. I mean, I imagine if he meet her parents and he like, why is she not here? Tell her to come in the White House. They're like, she's dead. That's why you're meeting us, because she's dead and you're supposed to do some good stuff for her. But Kamala Harris, word salad Kamala, she just don't know where she's at. The passage of time. And all of a sudden, it's like, Kamala, who are you right? Are your kids writing this stuff? You letting preschoolers write your script or what? Who would write a redundant word salad? And then you read it in front of the world. But she made a huge gaffe at the DMZ in her speech. And I'm just going to read a little bit of the Fox article. It says, Vice President Kamala Harris made an unfortunate gaffe during her speech at the Korean Peninsula's demilitarized zone, the DMZ, on Thursday, saying that the United States has a strong alliance with the Republic of North Korea. It is an alliance, is what she said, that is strong and enduring, she added. Intending to refer to the Republic of Korea, which is South Korea's official name. She's stupid. She is stupid. But I want y'all to hear her out of her own mouth and not what B. Tatum is saying. Roll that clip.
So the United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea. And it is an alliance that is strong and enduring.
Let me just say this, right? Have you ever had to do a class project and you knew you didn't do none of the research, you didn't study, you didn't do nothing, and you get in front of the class and you just say, I'm going to wing it. And you haven't done the research, so you don't understand the difference between North Korea and South Korea. Like, clearly Kamala Harris do not understand the historical context and relationship between us and North Korea and South Korea. See, a gaffe like that is not just a gaffe because you read it wrong on a teleprompter or you just misspoke. A gaffe like that is that you fundamentally do not understand the context of the things that you are speaking about. You have no connection with our foreign relationships. You have no connection with the difference of North Korea and South Korea. You would never make that distinction. That's like somebody saying Mexico and mean to say Canada. We have an incredibly different, and I'm not saying, and it's nowhere near North Korea and South Korea, but it's an incredible different relationship between the United States and Canada and United States and Mexico. And then it's different geographically. It's like you're talking about a different geographical location. You're talking about different culture, different president, different, or the, you know, whatever you want to call their leaders. You're talking about something that's completely different in its totality. And how the day before, Joe Biden is seeing dead people, and the next day, Kamala Harris is confusing North Korea and South Korea. You can't make this stuff up. These people are not qualified. And it reminds me of, like, the teacher's pet, right? You're in the classroom, and the dumbest kid in the class just so happened to be family members with the teacher, and she just wants to incorporate this kid in all of the meaningful things in class. And the kid don't know what's going on, and they thrust these kids out in the forefront, making them do the Pledge of Allegiance and do the announcements or whatever the case may be, and they're just bombing it. They are just going down the drain. And everybody in the class is like, it's all favoritism. This person don't deserve to be there. They have this sense of false bravado, and they're installing these people in places that they don't belong. And you could talk about Donald Trump all you want. Hey, Donald Trump seems like Einstein compared to Joe Biden. Joe Biden is geriatric. He literally, his mind is circling the drain, and Donald Trump appears to be Einstein compared to him. It is a complete different emotional feeling. It's a complete different reality. Spirit, energy that comes from Trump than from Joe Biden. And you know he's not genuine about anything he's saying, because he don't know what he's saying. He's reading a teleprompter. And I understand presidents and vice presidents have to read teleprompters. Are they it would be conducive for them to read a teleprompter, right? So you don't miss anything. So you have a flowing sentence, and you're not like me where, you know, you're crazy and then you're down and you're crazy and you're back down. So you can have a complete flow of a conversation to make sure you hit every key point that you are supposed to speak about or speak to, the issues that you are speaking to, presenting it to the country or in a foreign country. I get it. But I want to know what you really feel. As the president of the United States of America, I want to know how you really feel. I don't want a shell of a person. I want a person that talks like Trump. I mean, a little better than Trump, but at least the sentiment of just saying what you really feel. If you do this, we're gonna eliminate your country. That's what I want to hear a president say. I want to hear what his heart really says. If Russia does this in Ukraine, they will be no more. We will obliterate them off the face of the earth. I want to hear a president say that. I don't want to hear a president say, well, according to, we're going to try to do, we're going to make sure that doesn't happen. And methodically, we're going to go across. I don't want to hear none of that. I want to hear what you really feel, what you're going to really do. I don't want to hear no lip service. Are we going to really do something? Or I want the president to say, we're not going to get involved in that conflict. So they do what they want to do. They're bad people. We don't condone the violence against Ukraine. But we ain't getting involved. Don't ask me no more questions about getting involved. I just told you we ain't getting involved. Ladies and gentlemen, I should be the president. I'll keep it so real. I'll keep it so real. We'll be getting a nuclear war. And let me say this. I don't think we'll get a nuclear war, because they'll know I ain't messing around. Everybody dead. That's all I'm going to say. They say, Brandon, what do you think about the conflict in Iran? Everybody dead. Okay, y'all know what that means. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Come on, y'all, let's take a ride. Don't you say a word, just get inside. It's time to take you on another kind of trip, because you can't have to hop if you don't have to hit.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Unafraid to tell it like it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to give a special RIP to Coolio. Some people may not agree with his lifestyle or the life that he led, but I have to say Coolio was a legend growing up, and I just have to say condolences to his family, his life. I hope that he made it to heaven. Got a caller calling in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Tony that lives in the USA, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Officer Tatum, how you doing, sir?
I'm blessed. Welcome
man,
to the show.
You are all over the planet, man. You are out of this world, and you're in my heart.
I appreciate it.
I listen to you. Okay, what you just spoke on, see, okay, I know you're trying to raise money to fight in court battles. Tell me why it costs so much money. You got a lawyer that's trained. Where does the money go? If he's helping us, I mean, you know, what's he need to make? $1,000 a day? You got family that don't make $1,000 a week. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they don't make $1,000. Where does the money go? Why do you have criminals and it costs millions of dollars to take them to court? Where's that money going?
Tony, let me interject real quick, and thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. So, you know, there's a part of me that trying to understand what Tony is saying is why do lawyers charge fees that they do to defend people? And you have to put this in perspective. What does it take to become a lawyer? How much money do you have to spend to get an education to become a lawyer and pass the bar exam? That's a lot of resources, a lot of money, a lot of time, and it's the cream of the crop comes out to become lawyers. So then how do they do the pricing? Well, they charge based on their effort, energy, and the time spent. If you ever have ever been to court or you ever had to do anything legal, it is an expertise. And for them to win for you, it's even more of an expertise. So people who are doing a service for you that's almost impossible for you to do yourself because of all the rigorous training, all the learning that they've done, all the practice that they had to go through in order to be proficient in the court of law, it's going to cost you money. There's nothing in life that's going to be, absolutely free. However, let me just bring this point to ADF. This is where we come in as a community, right? The lawyers are going to have lawyer fees. The judge has to get paid. I mean, it's just the way it is. However, if we all come together, we can help offset that for people who really need the most that can't afford it. There's no way that we're going to sit there and say a lawyer should do all his preparation and have 3,000 documents and go to the Supreme Court and testify and you pay them $100. They're not going to be able to survive with all the hours and work that they put into. However, people like you and I can give $100 to ADF. And if 10,000 people give $100 to ADF, then when people that need it the most are going to battle in court just to preserve their constitutional rights, then we are there to support them. That's the whole premise. That's the whole premise of crowdfunding. And then also the help on top of that is tax deductible. That means that you get a benefit on your taxes for doing a little bit. Now, if you're the type of person that's donating $1 million, then we're talking a different story. But if you're donating $100 here and there, your generous donation will really bless somebody. And it don't cost you a lot, but it can really impact somebody else. You should see the people that ADF help. You just go to the website and click on it. You know, going to the Supreme Court, fighting for our constitutional rights, setting the precedent. This is not just court victories for individuals. This is court victories that will change the trajectory of future court cases. We need to have precedent set for all of our rights. You know, like the baker and the thing, you know, the people going in the cafe and trying to make them bake a cake for a gay marriage. The young lady that I spoke about yesterday, she's building websites for people who are newly married. Real marriage between a man and a woman. But the government want to make her forfeit her religious beliefs and make cakes for just anybody who want to claim that they're married. And so it is invaluable that we stick together and that we fight to support one another in a time of need. And that's what I would say to Tony. And I know that people probably get jealous of, you know, lawyers making all that money. But, man, go be a lawyer, and you tell me how easy it is, and I'll tell you how much you should pay a lawyer. How much time do I got? All right, I'm running out of time. But I want to. In the next segment, we'll talk about how Americans have revealed the majority of them believe that Joe Biden is mentally unfit. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now. This is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real.
A poll has revealed a majority of Americans have doubts about Biden's mental fitness. President Joe Biden has suffered from multiple embarrassing gaffes throughout his short time in office. What, 2 years? That fool is. It got a highlight tape. Making American question whether Biden is mentally fit enough to run this country. A recent Harvard-Harris poll found that 56% of Americans have doubts about Biden's mental capability to serve as president of the United States of America, while 63% of people said that Biden is too old. Additionally, 67% of Americans did not run Biden to it says Americans do not, I guess, want Biden to run for re-election again in 2024. Like these numbers are just crazy to me. This is why when people say the election wasn't stolen, they didn't steal the election. Let's process this real quick. The most popular president in United States history, by far, I mean by like 10 million votes, he has accomplished things that nobody's ever accomplished. 2 years in, 67% of people polled said that they don't want Biden to run again. They don't want him to run again. People are not interested in Joe Biden. I read some other polls. It says the polls also asked Americans, what Americans think the most important issue facing the nation today is, and to which 39% said price increases and inflation. That's all Joe Biden's fault. All his fault. They say all his fault, his administration and the policies that they've presented. 26% said economy and jobs was the most important issue, while 22% said illegal immigration needs to be focused on first. Now, 39% disagree with something that he said. 26%, 22% of people disagree. Like these percentage points of disagreeance on many of the things that he actually ran on, but hearing it and seeing it being applied in the real life, it really helps people put this in perspective that these liberals can talk, but they are not acting in your best interest. And I don't think they're acting in your best interest whatsoever. The phone number to call in is 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. I think we should do a poll, Nick. Let's do a poll on the YouTube channel that says, if we haven't already done the other poll, let's do the poll that says, do you think that Biden will run for re-election? That's what I want to know. Do y'all think he will really run for re-election, or is he going to be pooped? Right? When I say pooped, you know how when you're tired, you don't have no energy, and they say, oh, I'm pooped. His life is pooped. Like, he's tired of life. He's literally falling apart in front of us, and I don't know how they're still forcing him up there every single day to try to lead the country, and, of course, he's not doing a great job. Like I said before, I want to jump to this, you know, Coolio. I don't know if people knew who Coolio was. I have an article about Coolio, but I don't think it's a really good article. It's kind of talking down on him a little bit. But if you don't know who Coolio is, Coolio died on Wednesday. He left behind 10 children whom he shared with multiple women, including his ex-wife. The rapper was not very public about this particular incident. However, we know some of these dudes that are popular are Rolling Stones. Coolio had a pretty significant television show, a reality show in 2008 that gave this dramatic perspective of his life. And I don't know if you remember his hair. He used to have this crazy hair. But Gangsta's Paradise was one of the most significant songs that Coolio had that I thought literally changed just the perception of hip-hop music. Like, I mean, it was one of those things that somebody was actually being authentic and telling a real story about growing up in the hood. And I don't think many people do that. Sean, if you can get Gangsta's Paradise at some point. Confirm my suspicion.
I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Break yourself, fool.
Gavin Newsom. My wife was telling me about this story earlier today. That Gavin Newsom signs a controversial abortion bill that literally have pro-life people infuriated. Now, let me just decipher this real quick. I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole of pro-life stuff. Let me just decipher this. I think that myself, other Christians, people who are pro-life, our genuine focus, at least my, let me not speak for everybody. My genuine focus is to start with the Christians. And make sure Christians aren't going out having abortion. That's my first priority when we're trying to prevent abortions, is to first make sure that there's Christian folks who are not living deviant lifestyles and going out and having abortions. When I say prevent, I'm speaking of encouraging young people through the purview of our influence to not make that decision, to make a better decision, which we know is more conducive in the spiritual life and also in the natural. And then also being an advocate to support those who are put in that position, whether they have sinned or not is irrelevant, who have put themselves in that position for us to try to help them, in the best ways that we can so that they can have the child, they can give the child up for adoptions, but not kill the child. And then the second priority is to influence everybody else outside of the church as well. I'm not a big proponent in standing in front of the thing and telling everybody you're dying, you're going to hell, you're a murderer, you should be ashamed of yourself. I'm for saying, hey, young lady, there's another way. Please consider all your options before you decide to take the life of a child. And if we have any say in the legislative body, then we should ban it because that's what's best for the unborn, which is our obligation to protect. But Gavin Newsom, amongst dozens of abortion and so-called reproductive health bills in California, Governor Gavin Newsom signed just on Tuesday. One piece of legislation arguably have pro-life advocates sick to their stomach. Assembly Bill 2223 would prohibit coroners from holding an inquest after fetal death related to or following known or suspected self-induced or criminal abortion. The bill would further clarify under the Reproductive Privacy Act that pregnancy loss through miscarriage, stillbirth, abortion, or perinatal death due to causes that occur in utero would not be criminalized. Gavin Newsom signed a bill vowing to fight like hell for those who want abortions, as several states nationwide deal with the aftermath of the U.S. Congress, not the U.S. Congress, but the U.S. Supreme Court historic decision last summer to overturn Roe v. Wade, bringing abortion laws back to the states. I want to focus on that point real quick. You got lunatics out here saying, hey, women are going to die in the street. They're going to co-hanger themselves. And, everything's going to go bad because they ban abortion around the country. You're completely an idiot if that is your stance. They didn't ban anything. They overturned Roe v. Wade, which is not protected by the Constitution of the United States of America because of activists in the first place. That's why we have Roe v. Wade. It should have never been on the books in the first place. What the federal government is saying is that it's not protected by the Constitution. It's not in our purview to decide what we should allow and not allow in abortions. Leave it up to the states. ladies and gentlemen, we are the United States of America. It's not a communist country. We are United States. States have rights. States have constitution and laws. And so sending it back to the states is really giving more power to the people. Because if people in the state of Georgia do not want abortions in their state, they can vote on that behalf. And they can see it come to fruition because that's what they want for their state. Not worrying about a person who's elected to a federal position to oversee it, or not oversee it, but to enforce it on every single state, regardless of what the state wants in or in particular. So let me continue to read it. Let's see. Let me go down here. It says, argue since this is a guy named Wicks, or a person named Wicks, Buffy Wicks, which is a Democrat assembly member in Oakland, argues since the early this is aughts, approximately 1,300 pregnant people. This fool said pregnant people. You know they are leftists. Only women can get pregnant. Pregnant people have been criminally prosecuted for having miscarriages, stillbirths, and or self-managing. Yet California lawmakers who oppose the legislation have warned such laws could put unborn children in grave danger by prohibiting such investigations. And then we can go down and go through, but at the end of the day, Gavin Newsom and these leftists, I don't get what they're striving to accomplish. Because I don't understand why you're fighting so much for women to have abortions so much later. I would never understand. Coming up next, we're going to continue this conversation about abortion laws. I hope that y'all with me on this one. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Let me ask you this question. Would you trade in living in America under capitalism to live in China under communism? Which one would you pick? Now, the left will tell you that communism is better and capitalism is of the devil, and the rich people should be ashamed of themselves. And they really want communism to be here in the United States of America, but they don't understand how bad communism really is. They don't understand how Big Brother is literally Big Tony in China. You know, it ain't no brother or sister. It's like being in the jailhouse and Big Tony on the top rack trying to wait for you to go to sleep and the guards to walk away so he could take advantage of you. That's what the Chinese government is doing to their people. They ain't just looking over them. They taking advantage of them without consent. And I'll tell you this. Let me give you an example. A story I was reading from Fox News said China has opened overseas police stations in the U.S. and in Canada to monitor Chinese citizens. You know how crazy that is? They can't. They want to monitor you outside of the country. You in somebody else's country, they have police stations to monitor. Let me read the story. It says China has opened dozens of overseas police stations or service stations around the globe to monitor its citizens living abroad, including one location in New York City, of course, in New York City, and three in Toronto. And this is a big problem. You know, it's called Safeguard Defenders Watchdog, which is a watchdog organization, are saying that this is incredibly dangerous. And this could potentially be violating international rule of law, and it may have violating the territory's territorial integrity in the third country involved, which I'm assuming that they're talking about the country of the United States of America. And it says the report entitled 110 Overseas details China's extensive efforts to combat fraud by its citizens living overseas, in part by opening several police stations on five continents that have assisted Chinese authorities in carrying out policing operations on foreign soil. Europe is the home to most of the police stations. And I hope that I'm saying these names right. London, Amsterdam, Prague, Budapest, Athens, Paris, Madrid, and Frankfurt. In North America, obviously, they have three in Toronto and one in New York City. And all there's 51 such stations in 30 different countries. And their efforts have led them to arresting or at least convincing 230,000 Chinese nationals to return back to China to voluntarily, quote unquote, voluntarily turn themselves in to criminal prosecution. I think that's crazy. And I want people to understand, China monitors their citizens. They have things called propaganda choirs, where on broadcast television, they sing songs that's propaganda to brainwash the people in China. They could tell you how many kids you can have. They could tell you where you can live, where you can't live, what color car you can drive. And I think people that get millions of dollars, just say you do something and you make millions of dollars, the Chinese government, if you're a Chinese citizen, I believe they could take all your money and say, hey, we'll give you 25 cents and we're going to keep the other $1 billion that you, it goes back to the government. That's how crazy this is. Now, there's some people in this country that believe in living in that utopia. Meaning, oh, why would people know what's best for them? Right, right. This is how dumb people are. People think that people don't know what's best for them. The government does. Not realizing that the government is run by people. So people are corrupted. And so the government, who has power over you, are going to be even more corrupted, and you're going to be the victim of corruption. You think, oh, you know, the government makes sure everybody has a fair share. But is everybody putting a fair share of effort in? Is everybody putting a fair share or taking a fair share of risks? You shouldn't get the same outcome if you ain't putting in the same work, especially if everybody's not born and die at the same time. That means that you have generational effort that have been made to set you up for success. But if you live in communist China, it doesn't matter generationally what has been done to a certain degree, right? Because then they do social credit scores, meaning they have surveillance footage all around different countries. And the way they treat you is that, if they see you drop some, you know, some pick up some money on the ground that's not yours, or you litter, or they catch you stealing or something, then they can identify you and they dock your social credit score. So pretty much, if you don't do what they want you to do, if you're not a good boy like they want you to be, then you could eventually get yourself to the point where your credit score is so bad you can't even leave the country. You can't leave the country. You will be banned. They'll cut off your access to leave their particular countries. And so when speaking of these things, this is exactly why we don't want to become a socialist communist nation. And there are some people that will argue with you and say, this ain't socialism. No, they pushing socialism, ladies and gentlemen. And the world is never going to be equitable. When they say equitable, that means that everybody has equal outcome. The country will never and should never be equitable. You could have equality, meaning that you have an equal opportunity, but you're not going to have an equal outcome. If I'm up all night studying and I work harder than you and I put my best effort forward and you out drinking and partying every night, every weekend, I'm going to make A's, you're going to make C's. We should not have the same outcome because we didn't input the same level of energy and dedication. It's like the laws of motion, where they say for every action, there's a reaction, and equal and consistent reaction, whatever. Y'all know the drill. I ain't been to school in a very long time. Equal and opposite reaction. That's what it is. So if you are going to put no effort in, you will get no results. If you put an incredible amount of effort in, you're going to get incredible results. That is consistent for every single thing you do in life. I don't care who you are. Now, your results may not turn out next year. It may be in 20 years from now, or it may be in 3 months from now. You don't know when it's going to manifest. But if you put in the work, you download, you plant the seeds, there will be a harvest at some point in your life. And that's the way God made reality. And that's the way we try and attempt to operate in the United States of America. I know a whole bunch of people that were poor and they're millionaires right now. I know people who are homeless and they're millionaires right now, getting paid $100,000 to speak. They were homeless, eating out of trash cans. I mean, I don't know them personally, but I know of them, right? One of them is a famous speaker. I forget his name now. I can't think of his name. He's a famous speaker, and he got paid $100,000 to speak in another country to give a motivational speech to a company, a corporate. It was like a corporate speech. They paid him $100,000. He used to eat out of trash cans, said he was homeless. So only in America can you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and become what you want to become. That's what, for the most part, right? If you lose both of your legs, you're not going to play in the NFL, okay? You could probably play college football. I know people in college football without legs. But, you know, to make it to the NFL, you probably ain't going to be able to make it to the NFL. But there's a lot of other things you can accomplish that are probably a part of your desires that goes beyond sports and goes beyond these temporary satisfying things. But only in the United States of America that you can accomplish these things. And I wish that people would understand that, be more grateful that we live in an awesome country. And you know, the brainwashing that comes out of these institutions, schools that come from these fake black leaders and others, is that they want you to believe that slavery was this thing that every white person participated in, and America had nothing but slaves in it, and it was white people and black slaves. And black people weren't free until to 1960. You know, it's like, that's not the reality, right? Black people have been wealthy and rich throughout this entire time. You know, the first legal slave owner in America was a black man. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about that one. No, y'all do, but the other people don't. Some of the most wealthy, aspiring, accomplished people ever to live in the United States of America. Now that what we know now is the United States of America, were black people. There's a lot of them. Not most of them, but there's a lot of them to name. But we'll talk about it more. Hold the phone. Call in 844-900-7243. We'll talk after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Follow me on social media at The Officer Tatum. The website is TheOfficerTatum.com. Got people calling in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Let me go with Eugene from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hey there. How you doing, Brother Brandon?
Oh, I'm blessed. Thank you for calling in. What you got?
Yeah, good to be on your show this evening. And I was overhearing the conversation you was having about we're losing democracy here in the United States, and China is such a bad country and so forth. But one thing I can say about socialist countries or communist countries like China, they have very little criminal crime activity that take place amongst its citizens. And I say this, when you talk about the black community, you find that in the black community, we face a lot of criminal activity that we cannot control ourselves, being black people in our own neighborhood. One thing I can say about this is justice has a two-faced prospect here in the United States. And the United States have not been all that great to black people. You know, I'm African-American, and just based on some of the things that we have been seeing with a lot of the atrocities in the justice judicial system, we have not fared out all that well. And
Eugene, I want to interject real quick. Has America been good to you?
Well, as an African-American, I can say that I have done okay for myself, but as a overall being a part of the black community itself, America has not treated us all that well. I mean, some of us have climbed to the top, and it's based on what you aspire to be in life, but overall, we have not received, you know, open arms from a country that we have actually built ourselves.
Eugene, let me add this point as well. Is there another country that you think is doing better for black people than America?
Well, I've actually lived in Africa for a little time period during the 80s and the 90s. And black people seem to do very well in those places, despite what you see on TV.
Yeah, and but I mean, do you want to live? Would you want to live in Africa? Because would you rather live in Africa or a country in Africa or live in the United States of America?
Well, you know what? I belong to a part of a group called the Afro Diaspora Political and Economic Think Tank, and we have been pushing for both reparations and also for the exodus of Africans out of America.
Africans? Wait. You mean Americans of African descent to exit America, or are you saying Africans to exit America?
We call ourselves the African descendants of enslaved people, which is Adolf. I don't know if you're familiar with that acronym.
Yeah, I heard of Adolf, and I think that's what it's called. But I heard of it. But let me just challenge you on a few points, man. I think that I disagree with you saying that America, as if America is exclusively responsible for everything that happened to black people, saying that America has not been good to black people. I think over the last, 60 years, black people have not been good to black people. And that's probably been the most determining factor in the...
Well, that is because we cannot control the dynamics of enforcing law, enforcing ourselves. You got to understand that we come out of a system where we had overseers and officers that are still overseeing the black community. We are only a small majority of people within a collective group of other races that are here as well. But our race is virtually targeted to failure because of the system that we are living under.
Eugene, I just don't see it. I don't see it, sir. I mean, when you think about it, you say, who is killing the most black people in the last 60 years? Who've killed more black people or white people? And the answer is clearly that we've killed more of our own people than any other race has killed us. So we would have to say that the murderous threat to black people are black people.
Well, you know what? I disagree to that, because statistics show that it's equally amongst ourselves and amongst other groups of individuals who find themselves freely, that can kill black people freely without any.
That's not true, Eugene. If you look at the statistical data, black people actually kill white people twice as much as white people are responsible for the death of black people.
I don't agree to that. I don't.
No, it's facts. It's a fact.
I feel like, you know, most black people understand the consequences of killing white people. But they don't kill white people because they know the consequences is much greater.
Eugene, if you kill a black man, you're going to go to prison the same way if you kill a white man. The law is the law. Eugene, I got to go to the break. I got to go to the break, Eugene. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back after the break.
This
is the Officer Tatum Show. Common sense in an uncommon way. Act like you know.
I want to bring Eugene back in. Let me just make a statement real quick, and then we'll bring Eugene back in. So the premise of the conversation is that this is my take on it. I believe America is the greatest country to ever exist. I do acknowledge that black people have not always had it easy, and white people haven't, and Chinese people haven't either. We had our own struggles in different situations because during slavery, there was poor white people who couldn't afford slaves, and they were pretty much a slave to working their bones to the bone and working themselves to death. They just had the money to pay for their families to do so, and slavery was slightly different, but they didn't have a breeze. It wasn't like they were living on a hot horse and all these white people are drinking Dom Perignon and partying at the club and black people are slaves. First legal slave owner was a black man called Anthony Johnson. He was the first legal slave owner, went to court, had two indentured servants that he was able to win in court to have them be his slaves for the rest of their natural lives. So, I mean, we've all been through a lot, but this country has progressed and black people have had the opportunity to do wonderful things. We've seen it throughout history. Madam C.J. Walker, which was the first female millionaire, if you know, you adjust for inflation, she would have been a billionaire today. She was the first woman to make that much money out of any race in the early 1900s. Booker T. Washington started the Tuskegee Institute. You had all kinds of other people who done really, really great things in the 20s, the 30s. Black Wall Street in the 1920s. You talk about Black Harlem, the explosion of black enterprise was prevalent even before the civil rights movement. And so I think we have a long history of success that could have been better, but we decided to start supporting the Democrats and being a part of the government system and then living this life of victimhood. And that has yielded us poor results. So let me go to Eugene from Charlotte. Eugene, I have a question for you. I asked you few questions, but I have a question for you. So I get your point. It appears, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, it appears that you believe in what we call external locus of control, which means that the white man is essentially in more power and control of what goes on in the black community and the black experience moving forward than black people are. Is that a correct statement or no?
Yeah, that's somewhat, you're somewhat true with that fact as well. I mean, because we have control of some stuff in our communities, but a lot of the stuff we do not control. That comes from politics to economics. And you talk about Democrat and Republican. The Democrats and the Republicans have not been that great to neither one of us. So most of us now are starting to move into black nationalism, which we feel if we can get control of our own politics, our economics, our judicial well-being, then we're going to be better off. Our people started out in a real bad place when they came here as slaves. And yes, there have been some black people who were slave owners, but the mass majority of the folks who held the slaves were not black. They have allowed a few black people to get in partnership with them in order to see the agenda that the white community has always carried forth.
Now, Eugene, I want to ask a question real quick because I'm running out of time. Do you think that there's anything that black people can do to change the environment in which we're experiencing in America today? And then I only got about 30 seconds. Can you do it in 30 seconds?
Yeah, for certainly. Right now, I feel like the best thing we can do right now is to break off and form our own party. We also need to still push for reparations because you may speak of a lot of these communities like Black Wall Street, and there were many black towns that were built during the pro-Jim Crow law era and so forth and have lost that because of white revenge. White revenge never wanted to see black people climb to a certain level of independence. That's what
we're Okay, Eugene, thank you so much. I gotta run to the break. Sorry, I had to cut you. I got to run to the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real.
I'm going to bring Eugene in, and I'm going to ask you one question to Eugene. Let me ask you one question, Eugene, and then I got to move to some other callers.
Yes, sir.
Actually, did you attend college? I'm just my question.
Yes, I did. I graduated from Howard University and also
Howard?
Received my certification. Howard University, and I received.
You said
the
Howard? I can't. I think you hit Harvard or Howard.
Howard University out of Washington,
okay.
D.C.
Yep,
and also I received my accounting certification out of George Washington University. So I've actually, you know, just been in the political arena for quite some time, and also activism for many
years
now.
Eugene, do you have any white friends?
I do.
Eugene, do you have any white friends?
I do.
How do they feel about what you say?
Well, a lot of them, some of them agree to it. Some of them are allude to it. They don't agree because they haven't had the same experience. And so
do you think it would be hypocritical, or do you think you would be upset with them if your white friend said that we need to get away from black folks because they're dragging our country down and we don't need to have anything to do with black folks? No, I'm saying if your friend said that to you, because that's pretty much what you're saying to them. But if your friend said that to you, would you feel some type of way about that?
Well, you know what? I understand that black people don't control the dynamics of the United States. It's
how not
figurehead.
How not
figurehead. So when you say friends, it all depends on the level of friendship, because sometimes your friend ain't your friend neither. You know what I'm saying?
So do you have a close friend that's white? Can you have a white best friend? Can you have a white best friend or no?
I do not have a white best friend because we grew up integrated but still segregated. I went to school with white people, and, you know, at the same time, it's still even today, white people sit on one side of the lunchroom and black people sit on the other. We're still.
But do you feel, but I'm saying, what do you feel like on the inside? Would you allow a white person to be your best friend?
I don't think so, because it's a level of trust. And if, coming from my experience and my background and my family and their experience over historical lineage, I don't see it's going to be any type of full trust that's involved. And that's because of what we've experienced as people in a society.
Yeah, Eugene, thank you so much for the call. I'll be praying for you, my brother. Thank you so much for calling in. I just can't believe, you know, the amount of racism that you have to feel in your heart to say, I will never have a white best friend because of trust. So that means that you're imputing trust issues on a man or a woman or whatever that has nothing to do with slavery. There's nobody alive today. And there are over 60% of the white people who are here today were from immigrants who came here after slavery. And I just don't, like, listen, this is the problem, ladies and gentlemen. If I had a white person on here and a white person said, I will never have a black man as my best friend because I don't trust them. Do you know how crazy that would be? Do you know people would be calling and saying, that dude is a racist. That dude, if he had his name, he would lose his job if the person had his full name on there. You can't, that's racism to project that you could not be associated with a person because of race, because of something that happened in history, when we don't even know whose history is what. Some black people migrated here after slavery. So how then are you associated with slavery if you came here after slavery was over? You have nothing to do with slavery. Some black people came here after slavery, but their ancestors were the ones who captured black slaves and sold them into slavery in the United States of America. I think Eugene, I used to be just like Eugene to a certain degree. I think he has the right, he's trying to do the right thing, but consumed with this Afrocentric perspective that makes you incredibly racist and paranoid. This is the greatest country on planet Earth, and black people did have it hard in this country, but not all. Not every black person was a slave either. We got to remember that. And not every black person lived in the South. And not every white person was wealthy. I mean, you can go down a list. Okay, let me bring some more people in. Donald from Sacramento, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hi, how you doing? I stumbled across your radio show about a couple weeks ago now, and I listen to it off and on. And I think that some of the things you say is cool. I mean, you're right. You're right on. But some of the other things that you say, I think you off your rocker, dude. Because how can
okay,
you compare,
give me an example. Give me an example.
Okay. How can you compare a white man back in slavery working hard on his land that he owned, compare it to a black person working on land that's not theirs and that they're forced to do as in slavery? How can you compare the two by saying everybody didn't have it hard?
Let me tell you this. Let me explain this to you. I mean, because I think you perceive that every white man that was working on land or picking crops were all on the land. That's not necessarily true. And you have okay. the perception that every slave. No, listen to me. Listen to me. And you have the perception that every slave was getting beat in the slave field and none of them were house slaves. Listen, there's a comparable difference. If you're working in the yard, you're working in the yard. That's what I'm comparing it to. And you can't say that every single black person is doing worse than every single white person when you had black people who actually owned slaves during slavery. And you had white people who couldn't vote when black people could vote before they eliminated the right for black people to vote. It was based on property ownership. So some black people own property, they could vote. White people didn't own property, they could not vote. So I'm making a generalization of the totality of circumstances. I'm not talking about a slave on a plantation who's getting beat every night to a white man that owns the plantation that don't work. Or a white man that owns a smaller plantation where he goes out and does apples every now and again. I'm not making that one-to-one comparison. I'm giving a generalization. Hold the phone.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. I'm afraid to tell it like it is.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.